Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 181 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltacka. Thanks for joining me again. We have so much to talk about, and I'm always amazed at how much there is happening out there that's relevant to gun owners. But to start it off, when Ms. Wilson comes on, a Canadian city council is considering taking money from the federal government and using their police force to confiscate newly prohibited firearms from licensed gun owners only, of course. Amazing, right? Anyway, we're going to cover that. Two important community events in our community, in the firearms community in Canada, are being canceled as a result of the relentless onslaught from the Liberal government of Canada. The Liberal leadership race apparently is the most important thing going on in this country, the most central feature of the lives of Canadians, or at least the Liberal Party thinks so. So we're going to be talking about that. Pierre Poilievre talks about his plans on gun control or repealing certain gun control measures that have been implemented by the Liberals. So that's important stuff to talk about. And then we're going to combine that with other great news. And I don't want to get too into it now because I'm just kind of telling you what's coming up. But there are some really great things going on in the country and a lot of reasons to be positive. We're going to share all of those with you. The CCFR Radio Podcast starts right now. CTOMS has been a provider of trauma care training to military and police in Canada for nearly two decades. Now this emergency medical training is being made available to a wider audience through CTOMS online courses. Go to ctomsacademy.com and use promo code CCFR30 to get 30% off. That's ctomsacademy.com. And thank you so much to our great friends over at Vortex Canada. They continue to support the CCFR podcast and the CCFR. Can't say enough about them. Check out all their great products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. Vortex, the force of optics. Ready, aim, shop. Bullseye North is where passion meets precision. Discover a huge selection of top-notch rifles, accessories, and ammo. Whether you're perfecting your aim at the range or gearing up for hunting season, Bullseye North has you covered with free shipping on orders over $250, including ammo. Some exclusions apply. Visit bullseyenorth.com and remember to subscribe to their newsletter, bullseyenorth.com. A huge thank you goes out to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR and the CCFR radio podcast. Check out all their great work at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com. All right, we are back. So as I said in the intro, there is a lot going on. I'm always shocked. In fact, you know, a funny thing happened this time around for the TV show and the podcast is, like, in the old days when we first started the podcast, I used to just, you know, go about my business for 2 weeks. And then the day that I wanted to do the podcast or whatever, I would sit and I think back, right? Sometimes I'd look back on Twitter, as it was called at the time, right? X, look back at posts, or I'd look at my emails, or I'd look at, you know, different things, other social media, to try to figure out what happened over the last 2 weeks and what was worth talking about. And then that only lasted for a little while because it's impossible, especially when things move fast. So I keep, every time I interact with something, I'm like, that's got to go in the podcast, or I see something, or Tracy says something or whatever, right? I write it down so that when that Monday before the podcast comes out, because it usually comes out on the Wednesday, every second Wednesday or Thursday, on that Monday, I start looking like, okay, what do we got? How much do we have? And like Sunday night, I was looking at my list and I didn't have a lot. And for the podcast, it's no big deal, right? Because it's on the internet. It's the most flexible format in the world. I can just make the podcast a little shorter. Or I can bring in some other stuff, right? Because people are used to kind of long form. Let's talk about some other things that maybe aren't time sensitive. But the TV show is different. Television is such a restrictive format. It's like you're doing 22 and a half minutes. Whether you have too much stuff and you got to drop a bunch of important things, or you have nothing, you got to figure out a way to make that informative and entertaining for 22 and a half minutes. So anyway, on Sunday night, I'm like looking at the list. I'm like, man, there's not a lot here. And which gives me anxiety, right? Because, you know, the show must go on kind of thing. Man, by Monday evening, you know, Wilson and I had a list like this long because there's, it just, It's just really weird. Stuff just keeps happening that affects licensed gun owners. So yeah, we've got an action-packed episode for you today. And most of it I'm going to go over with Tracy. When I bring her on, I've only got a couple of things to go over with you, not much before we get going with that. All right, so first thing I want to mention is Operation Pitchfork is moving along nicely. Nothing's changed as far as our plans are concerned, so that whole project should still be coming out in the first week or two of February. I think I might be able to reveal maybe a few things to you in the next episode, maybe. I have to think about that, but it's Operation Pitchfork because there's three prongs, right? And I think two of them we can probably talk about here pretty quick because they can't be undermined. And it's not something that has to stay secret until it's run its course. The third prong, that's the top secret one. But I might be able to divulge a little bit of stuff. So stay tuned for that. I also wanted to thank, we've had quite a few donations from clubs, right? They sort of come in waves, right? So we've had a lot of recent donations, and I just want to let everybody out there. I don't have the list of people right now because I'm running around like a maniac right now. I don't have enough time to get everything done that I should be getting done. So, and I'll talk more about that actually in the outro or in a second, actually. So I just want to say thank you to everyone. And as I've said before, not only just for supporting us and helping us do the things that we do and accomplish our mission, but just for trusting us. I've said that many times before, because when you donate money to a cause, to an advocacy organization, it's a demonstration of your trust, right? It's like, we trust you to make good use of this money and to be responsible and to return us some benefit for supporting you guys. So that's the part, you know, when I say it's meaningful and everything, like that's sort of the big meaningful part for me. It's just like, it's a validation. You know, we see you guys working. We see you working hard. We see you doing creative things. We see you being unrelenting in defending, you know, what we have in Canada. And we're going to support it. Like, that's the meaningful part. So anyway, thanks to everybody. I'm going to try to have a list of all the clubs that donated in the past month or so. There's been a few of them. So I do want to make mention of that. I just don't have it prepared today, okay? So cut me a little slack on that, and I'll try to have that done for the next episode. And thank you everyone for your support. I can't tell you how important it is and how much we appreciate it. All right. So And the only other thing I wanted to talk about, well, really sort of two things that are related. I'm going to share some personal news with you in the outro. So make sure you hang around for that. But part of that is in the last episode, you saw we have a new studio here. Well, that's a studio that I built at my own expense for a couple of reasons. And I just wanted to give a shout out to John over at Bear Paw Taxidermy because I was looking for a mount. You may have seen it in the last episode when Scott Carpenter and I were talking, but John over at Bear Paw Taxidermy donated that European deer mount for me. And so I just wanted to say thank you to John. And for you guys to check out bearpawtaxidermy.com in Mission, British Columbia. So thank you so much for that, John. I really appreciate it. And I know John sponsors a few different television shows out there and some other stuff. And I'm sure everyone really appreciates businesses being part of the community, right? I think that's what I'm trying to say. So thanks very much, John. I really appreciate that. Okay. That's all I have for you for now. Other than the outro, let's bring Tracy Wilson on and get going on this list. All right, we are back with Tracy Wilson of the CCFR. Wilson!
Wilson! Wilson!
Hey, Gil Taka, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. You're looking pretty orange. Are you trying to make America great again?
I made Mexico great again. I went on Operation Taco right before Operation Pitchfork. So,
awesome.
Yeah, a little trip to Mexico. I had a wonderful time. The sun was great. The tequila was great. It was just beautiful.
Awesome. I didn't see the picture, but my wife said there was a picture of you, what, holding an iguana or something?
Yeah. So I did find a liberal down there and I held them on the beach. It was a giant iguana with huge claws. And I'm not afraid.
Yeah. Okay. Well, makes for a good picture, I guess.
Yes.
All right. We have a ton of stuff to go through, which constantly shocks me that there's always stuff to talk about. I'm never going to get out of this podcast thing.
No, never.
But we have a huge list, man. So we better get at it right now. So first thing that we need to talk about is, so Winnipeg City Council, I think they're doing some kind of study to see if they can squeeze extra money out of the feds to take licensed gun owners' guns as part of this confiscation program.
Yeah, that's right. So there's a report before City Council right now in Winnipeg. And if this report is approved, and it looks like it might be, they would collect $3.4 million from the federal government. Now, this money would be used for Winnipeg Police Services, the officers themselves, to go collect, transport, and store your banned firearms, Winnipeg gun owners, while they await destruction. Of course, they would use a third party company to destroy the guns. But yeah, just they called us fearmongers. But just as we said, it looks like in Winnipeg, at least, they are considering sending police to your door to confiscate your guns. So that's touchy.
That's pretty amazing. Well, now this whole process hasn't gone that far yet, so we will have lots of time to intervene if necessary. And as far as the overall situation for gun owners right now, whether or not they're going to lose their guns or whatever, we're going to talk a little bit more about that probably right towards the end of our time together, because there is some stuff to talk about. But yeah, it's quite short-sighted, hey?
Well, and I understand, you know, police forces all across the country are struggling for funding. And I get it, $3.4 million is a lot of money. It could make a difference to a law enforcement agency, but this isn't the way to do it. So, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't care what the amount is. If what you're doing probably isn't right, you should probably just decline.
Yes.
Anyway, more, we'll follow that really closely, and we'll have more on that later, I am sure.
Yes, we will.
All right. So let's, the way that we're structuring this is we're giving you all the kind of the negative stuff in the beginning. And then, you know, just so you know, just hang in there. And then we're going to ramp up to the really great stuff towards the end. So in along with the negative stuff, we have some really important firearm related events that are going to end up being canceled this year.
Yeah, this one really hurts, actually. I got a letter from Matt Hipwell, owner of Wolverine Supplies. And of course, you know, they host Wolverine Days. After a 35-year run, Wolverine Days, and I got to say, it's probably the most well-run range event that I've ever been to, has been canceled for 2025. So this event is hosted in Vernon, Manitoba. It's a little town, like 3,000 people. And I swear to God, 3,000 people or more show up to the event. So people are traveling from all across the country. They've got retailers, distributors, manufacturers that come down. It's a huge event, and it gives a lot of people the chance to go out to the range. Now, you can go there and try kind of the latest and greatest stuff, but there's also a lot of historical firearms that John Hipwell brings out. I love that. But most importantly, this event doubles as a fundraiser. And every year, they raise a bunch of money. They donate $10,000 to the CCFR, which is like we need it so bad, and we're so grateful for their support. But they also donate $10,000 a year from this event every year to STARS Air Ambulance. For those who don't know, that's a nonprofit shock and trauma air rescue service operating in Western Canada. And they serve some of the most rural areas and remote victims. So, you know, it's not just the effects of the Liberal government's decisions to assault our community. It's not just the effects that it has on the, you know, the first iteration people, but it travels on to affecting all kinds of things. And in Matt's letter, he says, with the most recent additions of firearms to the OIC ban list, we are left with too many holes to fill on our range lineup. And they're working on a plan to hopefully bring it back next year. And, you know, hopefully we're all in a different position next year. So, just heartbreaking, because after 35 years, like, think of all the money that's brought into that tiny little town, people traveling there and using the restaurants and hotels and the money they collect, not only for the CCFR, but for STARS Air Ambulance. Well done, Liberals. Good job.
Yeah, I'm sure they're very happy with themselves, right?
Yeah. For what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And firearm-related violence has never been higher in the history of recording those statistics.
Yeah.
Yeah, great work. Yeah. And they wonder why we oppose it, right?
Yeah. And then they call us crazy for being upset about this stuff. But that's not where the bad news ends.
No.
No. So I had a conversation this morning with our friend Fred. And you may remember from the last podcast, I went to see Fred Pellegrino, owner of Firearms Outlet Canada. He had that great meeting with the town council there and got approved for his new facility. But the bad news is TACOM is also canceled for 2025. And, you know, hopefully we can bring it back after that. He's going to be putting out official notice, but this is kind of breaking news here. TACOM 2025 is officially canceled. So there's just not enough to put on the line and not enough to, you know, not enough to sell. So the damage to that community as well. You think if we have that event in Mississauga, people are flying there and traveling there and the restaurants are full, the hotels are full. Well, I guess we won't be going there this year either. So well done, Liberal government. You're really nailing it.
Yep. Yeah. Failing on public safety and hurting everyday licensed gun owner Canadians and everyone that benefits from that local economy wherever it happens. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. So two really big events down the tube already this year, and we'll see how the rest of the year plays out. But yeah, kind of sucks.
Well, that's how these people operate. So the good news is it doesn't look like they're going to win anything in the next election. But that's probably a good segue to move on to the three ring circus clown show that is the Liberal Party of Canada. Don't ever forget that they're enablers, right? Which is the Bloc Québécois and the NDP, the New Democrat Party of Canada as well. So the Liberals are making everybody sit and wait and, doing all of these spinoff things we'll talk about in a second, just in order to have their leadership race so one of these people can be prime minister for a couple of months and be the latest Kim Campbell, I guess.
Yeah, well, the Liberal leadership race, I've never seen anything like it. And I've been around for quite a few different leadership races of, you know, different varieties. So far, you've got Chrystia Freeland out front. She's former Minister of Finance, as you know, former Deputy Prime Minister. She quit before she got fired by Trudeau. She's got a lot of high-profile endorsements. And she had her launch party just the last weekend. And, of course, it was completely interrupted by protesters. So, the pro-Palestine protesters. So watching the video was just, you know, it was just sad, actually. It was pathetic. And then we've got Mark Carney, who's the former Bank of Canada and Bank of England governor, you know, all his globalist background. He's backed by several high-profile MPs as well. He launched just a few days before Chrystia and had to redo his logo because, of course, he copied somebody else's logo and there was an infringement there. So that kind of also went down in flames. And then you've got Karina Gold. She's Liberal House Speaker, you know, typical millennial. She's backed by our friend Pam Damoff. So that's exciting. She says she has Canadians in her heart. However, we just aren't in her comments on Twitter because she keeps them locked so nobody can ever reply to her. So she's in the running. Yeah. Jamie Batiste, he's a Cape Breton MP. He's Mi'kmaq Indigenous, First Nations musician and powwow dancer. And he's famous for those terrible comments about Indigenous women and how they're all on pills. So, yeah, that's awkward. Then you've got my former MP from Nepean, a suburb here in Ottawa, Chandra Arya. Indian born, he was first out of the gate. He doesn't speak French. He says that does not matter to Quebecers. There's no reason to speak French. He wants to abolish the monarchy and he is against the carbon tax. So I'm sure he will do swimmingly well in the only area where Liberals have any hope of winning any votes, which is Quebec. And then finally, you've got Frank Bayliss. Now, he's not a current MP. He's a former Liberal MP, but you may remember the name because he was part of that $237 million ventilator scandal during COVID. That all those ventilators ended up in the recycle bin after a huge, you know, sole source contract.
$250 million, just for those of you that are following along at home. $250 million.
$250 million, yeah. Yes. So that's the lineup so far. You are right. It's an absolute clown show. Liberals will choose their leader on March 9th, and that person will become the leader and, of course, the temporary prime minister until the next election. Interestingly enough, we knew that Trudeau was not running to be the prime minister again, but he's also announced he's not even running as an MP. So he has left the ship. He's not willing to go down with it. So he's out of politics after this. I'm sure that he'll find some cozy appointments somewhere else. But yeah, that's the gong show that is the Liberal leadership to this point.
Yeah, it's an absolute train wreck. And yes, with absolute train wreck candidates. But anyway, yeah. Everyone you mentioned, I could talk about that stuff all day. So I'm going to spare our audience my comments on all that stuff. But yeah, what a mess. Anyway, looks good on them. They deserve everything they're getting.
They totally do. They totally do. We don't even owe them the time to do their leadership race. So the fact that it's going exactly how I had hoped it would is absolutely perfect. And of course, the polling numbers are out since all of these contenders have announced their candidacy for leadership. You know, there was some concern that maybe they would swing the polls back the other way a little bit. There's been absolutely no movement. So yeah, looks good on them.
Well, you know, it's funny because this group of people have such a profound lack of self-awareness. They're so decoupled from reality that they're just like, okay, well, maybe a new leader, maybe that, like, no, it's your policies. You've destroyed the country. You've attacked everyone that hasn't done anything to deserve it. And you've lifted criminals and the worst parts of our society up and used government resources to prop them. Like, just you've done everything wrong. That's why people are angry. And that's why you're being rejected at the polls. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. People are sick of this, you know, whatever, right? Not going to get too into it, but, you know, WEF stuff, globalist stuff, this extreme attitude on how people should live that's being projected from the people that live the most extravagantly. Like, people are tired of that stuff. What do? They wheel in Mark Carney. Yeah. His name is on the freaking $20 bill.
Yeah.
Like, and he's calling himself an outsider. Like, people are sick of being lied to and gaslit. They're tired of it. And so many people have woken up that they just... It's just amazing, right? They try gun control, no bump in the polls. New leaders, no bump in the polls. Everything they try is not working. Thank goodness. Thank you, Canada.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is free to take out a membership in the Liberal Party of Canada. I'm not suggesting it to anybody else, but I'd be voting for Chandra Arya. That's where I'd be.
Yeah, or Karina Gould. She is an absolutely atrocious person. Yeah. And I think she'd fit in beautifully, like a hand in a glove, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's perfect.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, let's move on before my blood pressure increases and I start ranting and raving like some drunken lunatic.
Okay.
So our friend Arpan, what's his last name?
Kanna, K-H-A-N-N-A.
That's right. Came out with a really great video about the gun control issue, I guess, or the gun control file. And it was, yeah, really great to watch.
Yeah, so this was a cool fact check video, and he sent it to me in a PM on Twitter. He's the Conservative MP for Oxford. He's a lawyer. He's a sport shooter. He's an IPSC guy. And this was like just this cool like breakdown of the disinformation coming out of the Liberals on the gun community, gun bans, gun bills. And yeah, it's got some awesome B-roll. He's in there shooting IPSC and just all around a really good fact check video. So we've shared it around. Make sure you check it out. And I'm really appreciative of that because they don't have to do those things, but it just shows he's taking interest in this issue. It matters to him. It matters to his constituents and he's speaking out. So really nice video. Well done.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Really good stuff. And we appreciate that because that's all part of the effort, right? For people to see that stuff that may not know a lot about the issue, for them to understand a little bit more really helps us.
It sure does. Yeah.
All right. Well, that was where we pitched up towards the positive. Okay.
Okay.
Now the next thing, Guy Morin over in Quebec, who's been a pro-gun figure there for quite some time. I don't know if this was, I think it was a bit of an ambush interview. I don't think it was planned, but either way,
I'm not sure, but
what's that? Sorry. Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure if it was planned or not. It reading how it goes, it doesn't feel like it was planned, but it was welcomed.
It could have been, though. But anyway, so Guy did a quick impromptu interview with Pierre Poilievre. And of course, him being a pro-gun figure in Quebec, he had important questions for Pierre. And why don't you just kind of cover what the responses were?
Yeah, this is really cool, actually. While the Liberals are, you know, fooling around with their disaster of a leadership race, Pierre Poilievre is doing what he does best. And he's going out into the community, talking to people, just talking to everyday Canadians. And he went on a Ski-Doo trip. And this looked like a lot of fun, actually. I'm a little bit jealous. He was in the Saguenay-Lac-Saint-Jean region in Quebec. And there was cool videos of him going along in his Ski-Doo. And they pulled over at some point, and Guy Morin was there. Guy and I go way back. We've been, you know, friends and supporters of each other all along. And it's pretty cool. So he asked a bunch of questions to Poilievre. I've got sort of the translated version here because, of course, it was all in French. And he was asked about, Guy asked Pierre Poilievre about C-21, C-71 and the bans, of course. And here's Poilievre's words. I opposed them. I voted against these laws. I will repeal these laws. I will ban criminals. We'll put criminals in jail. We will respect, sport shooters and hunters. So he made it really clear. And he goes on to mention that 82% of firearms used in crime are smuggled or tampered with. This is according to the TPS. And he says, we're going to strengthen the borders instead of putting hunters in jail. So... really great stuff. And then, of course, this is an article from CP24, the Canadian Press, sorry. So, of course, they go to Natalie Provost for comment because, you know, when it's an anti-gun story, they don't need to hear our side. But the fact that Guy got a couple seconds or minutes to talk to Pierre Poilievre, of course, they've got to go to the other side. So she opens up with an absolute lie here. So this is Natalie Provost saying, there isn't a hunter who has lost a hunting weapon in Canada. That is 100% a lie. All kinds of hunting guns have already been banned. I know my hubby Colin, every single firearm he used for hunting has been banned, and that continues. There's also literally an exemption for Indigenous hunters to continue using their firearms for hunting until an appropriate replacement can be found. Why would there be an exemption for hunting if these weren't used for hunting? So,
yeah. Anyways. Well, because they're completely fine for hunting.
Yeah, prolific liar. So there's that. And then she goes on, and this is a really interesting quote. She notes that the conservative leader is echoing the gun lobby's arguments that we shouldn't attack honest gun owners when it comes to fighting crime. I'm just going to say it again. The gun lobby's argument that we shouldn't attack honest gun owners when it comes to fighting crime. Well, maybe because we should be attacking criminals when it comes to fighting crime. Call me crazy, but, you know, that's what I would think. And saying these are gun lobby arguments, they're actually police arguments. Law enforcement has been saying this all along. Yeah. So,
well, it's amazing. It's like how she's rejecting the idea that the government shouldn't use its power and its authority against people that haven't done anything. Like, that's a gun lobby talking point.
Yeah. So she's saying we should attack honest gun owners.
Yeah.
When it comes to fighting crime.
Yeah. Like, it's a fallacy that attacking licensed gun owners will have no beneficial effect on public safety. That's what she's saying. It's like, no, this is how you attack crime. You attack licensed gun owners.
Yeah. Which is nuts.
Like, it's just clown world. It's upside down world.
It got a little crazier because down further in the story, of course, they go to a third party person for comment, and they chose Catherine Ouellette. She's a professor of political science at the University de Montréal. And she's complaining here about divisive politics. And she says the goal is to reach people who wouldn't necessarily have voted for the conservative. Sometimes these people are cynical, delusioned people, and we just want to mobilize them. She goes on to talk about breach politics, the idea of seeking out more divisive issues to make gains It is increasingly practiced with the sophistication of political marketing, and parties have no choice to win by pretending to bring everyone together. But in the end, it's divide and conquer. And I read that over twice, and I drew a big square around it with some swear words beside it, because that is exactly what Justin Trudeau has done to us for the last 9 years. And she's complaining that Polyev saying, yeah, I'm going to stop the assault on legal gun owners and instead focus on crime. That is divide and conquer politics.
Yeah, she's accusing Polyev of doing it.
Yes.
Well, like, again, this is the reason why people are so angry. Let me just throw one comment here.
Okay.
Is I was on X this morning. I'm trying to call it X more than Twitter. So I'm usually on X when I'm drinking my coffee. Sit on the couch, I get up, get my coffee, and then I'll scroll around there, and then I got things to do. So I came across this post. We didn't talk about this earlier in preparation for this, obviously, but I came across this post that somebody did, and it was like a thread. And it was about some new RCMP report on the amount of resources that they've had to divert to protecting politicians and how this is a growing trend, you know, threats of violence and harassment and all the rest of that stuff against politicians. And they're like, and it's like everything they mention in here, it's like, we don't know where this is coming from. This is a new trend. It's a very concerning, disturbing trend. It's like, man. And of course, it's being covered by media. And it's not, no one. And this is the part that is the, this is the whole point. No one is making, is including in any of this reporting or the RCMP or whatever. Why is it that people are so angry? You know, it's almost like my neighbor won't talk to me. He won't even look at me. At some point, I might be like, oh, is he just terrible? Or maybe I've done something to offend him. Maybe I should ask him. Maybe I should ask my other neighbor. Maybe he's talked to them. Like, why is Joe acting like this? That's really odd. Well, why is no one curious at all why Canadians, and not just a handful of them, not the people that are really emotionally sensitive over these kinds of things, en masse, why are people so angry? They're flying flags, man. They're manufacturing and selling out of flags that say F Trudeau. Why? Yeah. There's got to be a reason. And they never even mention it. It's like, yeah, there's good reason why people are so angry. So here's what you do. You don't worry about this increasing violence. You stop doing what's making people so angry. You stop destroying their lives. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, everything will be fine again. I don't know why. I know it sounds weird. Sounds like rocket science, but it's just not to me. I don't know.
Well, and that's the problem where we are right now is after everything they've done to Canadians, and they're just, I don't know if it's their elitism or their privilege or whatever, but it's like they're totally out to lunch. No recognition of why it could possibly be that people are upset. They have no idea. It's like they've done nothing wrong at all. It's shocking to me that we're not on the same planet as these people.
No. But. And it's like, oh, why are these gun owners so angry all the time? You know, which is funny because when I first became a gun owner and I started mixing with gun owners, I'm like, these guys are so sour and they're negative and they're yapping about this C-68 and C-17 and, you know, and I was like, oh, I don't know. Maybe they're just grumpy. And it's like, no, when you start looking at what they had been through and how unfairly they were treated, you're like, oh, no wonder these guys are angry because none of that makes any sense. You know, the failures, mm-hmm. government's failures in public safety are being blamed on licensed gun owners. And then they're punishing gun owners to show the public like, hey, don't blame me. It's these guys and we're going to punish them for you. And somehow that makes law-abiding regular citizens angry. Go figure.
Shocker.
I don't know, man. Anyway.
I don't know.
So we're going to call the professor there. We're going to call her the nutty professor from now on.
Yeah, absolutely we are.
Yeah. All right. So here's the good news. And we'll kick this around just for a couple of minutes because I think we've been at it a while. Okay. Although there's so much going on. It's unavoidable almost. But all of this really says one thing. Like forget, I think the only exception probably is the Winnipeg thing. But the Winnipeg thing, as soon as that starts to progress, we will step in ourselves and we'll rally everybody to oppose this thing. We'll do what we normally do, I guess I would say.
Yes.
But here's the thing. Things are turning around. There's a court challenge. We never talked about that. There's a court challenge on the Liberals' prorogation of Parliament. And that's, what is that, February 12th, the court date?
Yeah, so this was a federal court application, but they had also put forward a motion for an expedited hearing. We know after waiting 4 years for a court date, the decision only took 2 days. It was approved, and the court date is February 13th and 14th here in Ottawa at the federal court. So yeah, that's pretty exciting. And of course, that's to decide whether or not the Prime Minister's prorogation of Parliament was even legal.
Well, so, but some extra detail, because I think, I know we didn't plan to talk about this, but it's important. Some extra detail is that the court came up with this decision. You were saying to me earlier when I was on the way to the office, saying that this decision was made in 2 days by the federal court.
Yes. Yes. So to me, it shows, and it's actually the Chief Justice's decision. So to me, it shows they are very interested in hearing this and very interested in working on this. The decision was also released late on a Saturday night. So you've got judges and the Chief Justice of the Federal Court of Canada sitting around on a Friday and Saturday writing out this decision and granting it. The applicants won. So this will go to the hearing, which is interesting. But in the original application, it states that in recent months, the leaders of all the major opposition parties with significant seat counts in the House have repeatedly announced their intention to support a motion of non-confidence in the current government at the earliest opportunity. So the whole basis of this is Trudeau wasn't in a position to prorogue Parliament. He should have called for an election. So they're asking for the, a review of the legality of the prorogation. And should the judge decide that it wasn't legal, then the House goes straight back just as it was before. So, yeah, this could put us into an election a lot earlier.
Yeah, so that's the good news. So just to review, because this is important, right? Because a lot of this stuff is heavy and we've been through a lot in the last 9.5 years, right? Yeah. So there's a case in the court. There's a hearing happening in a couple of weeks. And they're going to decide whether this prorogation was legal or not. If it's not, then that prorogation will end. Apparently, Jagmeet Singh has reiterated his commitment, although I'd take the word of a guy off the street with a lengthy criminal record before I take the word of Jagmeet Singh. But nonetheless, he's reiterated that he is, no matter who the leader is, he is, you know, of the Liberals, a new leader. He's still voting non-confidence. Yeah. If he follows through with that, then probably within a couple of days of Parliament being recalled, the government will collapse. And at that point, then you have between, I think, 36 and 51 days for the writ period for yes, the election to happen. Mm-hmm. And then that's the end of this government. So at the end of the day, here's the important point, the takeaway. You haven't lost any guns. The only people who have lost guns are people that have maybe died, right, and had the newly prohibited firearms taken because there's no buyback or whatever, like with a few isolated examples. En masse, we have not lost any guns. And right, we have reiteration from the Conservatives, all of it gets reversed. And they're still riding super high in the polls. It's not hurting them politically because it's the right thing to do. And they're going to be in sooner than later. And the Liberals have run out of time. They didn't roll nothing out, man. The retail buyback isn't even complete. So, you know what? I don't want to call it too early, but you know, I'm sure everyone can see where this is going. So, I don't know. I don't think I want to say any more than that, but it's going to be an exciting time coming up soon.
Yeah, I think we'll be popping champagne sooner rather than later.
And that's... And then you add to that, we're probably looking at a decision on our court case within a month anyway. We might even find out a month from now that their use of an OIC to ban, you know, a multitude of firearms was inappropriate or illegal. Ultra vires is how they say it. So that might even
be great.
You know, we might even have our guns back before the election. Who knows? I mean, that would be nice. That's a dream.
That would be really nice.
Yeah. Let me make that clear. That's a bit of a dream, but yeah, let's hope.
Yeah.
So despite all this negativity, things are actually really turning around. And that's really important. That's important for me as a person too. Like just when I'm like, okay, what, where are we really at right now? No, it's nowhere near as bad as it should have been right now. We're actually turning it around. It's pretty exciting. I'm very excited about it, actually.
It is exciting. Yeah, I feel things are definitely different, and yeah, it feels good. We just got to stay the course and just get the work done and get there.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the other thing is the CCFR's 10th anniversary is coming up this October. Mm-hmm. So, man, we may have to have like a bunch of range events, and we may have to just party like it's 1999.
I think we might have to, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The big party's coming. Anyway. All right. I think we beat everything to death, but I think it was a good chat anyway.
It sure was. Yep.
Awesome. Perfect. Well, thanks for the update, Ms. Wilson, and we'll see you next time.
We'll see you then.
All right. That's going to do it for episode 181 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks everyone for joining me. I really appreciate it. Make sure that you share the podcast. Get every gun owner you possibly can involved. There's an election coming up. We need help. We need help getting out there. We need help voting in a block. There's all kinds of things that we need to come together for, so that we can make sure that the party that's going to respect us and our property and our freedoms and us as individuals, as humans, as Canadians, gets the clearest supermajority we can possibly imagine. So that's the way for us to solve this problem once and for all. So anyway, share the podcast if you can. Get your buddies involved. Now, in the intro, I mentioned that I was going to share some personal news with you. And so if you're not watching the podcast for that reason, go ahead and click off. There's no more farm-related news left, and I will see you in the next one, and thanks for watching. Now, if you want to hang out with me, this is going to take a little while. It's going to be about 15 minutes, but I think it's a pretty inspiring story, and it ends with some current news from me to you. So anyway, I'm going to try to rattle through this quickly. So if you've been watching the podcast and whatnot, or following the CCFR, for a few years, you're probably aware that I've had cancer twice. I recently had throat cancer, right? So so back in 2018, by accident, I found out that I had a tumor in my left kidney the size of a peach, right? 7.5 centimeters in diameter. And I had no symptoms, no pain, nothing. I was in the best shape of my 40s at that time. Not like the shape I'm in now, but the best that I could be at that time. And, you know, they sent me to a urologist. He's like, yeah, that's a huge tumor, man. We're gonna take your kidney. And I'm like, can I live with one? And he's like, your kidney function is awesome. Like, it's really high. You'll be unaffected. I'm like, okay. So I ended up losing my left kidney. And that is not a nice surgery. Very painful, long recovery. It's pretty nasty. But nonetheless, whatever. But the fact that at 48 years old, that I had such a huge tumor and had, I mean, the urologist said that tumor could have been developing for 10 years. It's huge. And I'm like, okay, so clearly I'm not somebody that was meant to live that long. And they don't know. They didn't know till probably a month after the kidney was removed, whether or not there was metastatic disease. So I'm like, okay, so I'm probably going to die soon. I had to process that. And, you know, I'm generally content and happy and optimistic and easygoing, I guess, until I get angry, right? But I don't really get angry very often. I can be annoyed, certainly. But I was like, okay, you know what? A lot of people don't get 48 years. Don't be a wussy, for lack of another word. You know, you had a good run. So just take it as it comes. Keep going. You got nothing to complain about. But to be honest, it took about a year for me to reconcile a bunch of issues in my brain. Like I'm mentally, emotionally, I'm tough as nails. That's my strongest attribute, is just my emotional. I'm not an athlete physically, that's for sure. But just emotionally, I'm really tough. But even for me, it was like, it took a year of processing, and it was going all the time. Every waking minute, there's something in the back of my head running, right? There's a process trying to reconcile, you know, the problem. So as that started disappearing into the rearview mirror and cancer not coming back, I was like, okay, you know, I think that we might be past that. Maybe that was just an odd thing, right? Well, 4 years later, from that, boom, I end up with this raging case of metastatic throat cancer, right? Squamous cell carcinoma, and unrelated from the kidney. I'm like, wow. So that clinches it, right? I'm not meant to live very long. I'm just not, it is what it is. But still, I ended up with 51 years. I couldn't, 52 years, I guess, at that time or whatever. I'm not going to complain. But that really cinched it for me. It's like, you're going to die soon. And, it's just the way it is. So you have, like, for me, my strategy was just to accept that and then not to waste whatever time I had, being worried about not living to be 80, like, most people, right? So that was my strategy. So I end up having to be actually treated for cancer this time, which was chemotherapy, radiation. So chemotherapy was cisplatin, which is a very dangerous chemical, and radiation. So that's 665,000 regular x-rays worth of radiation to the face and neck, right? That's what I had. So I'm like, I did intense research. I'm like, I'm doing the radiation. I'm going to decline the chemo. I'm going to do a few other things, which, if you guys remember, got a lot of support from the community for that. And I'll never forget it, by the way. Never forget it. Eternally grateful. So anyway, I'm like, I'll spin the wheel of death. I'll decline the chemo. And the doctors were like, are you crazy? I'm like, maybe. But the cisplatin has a 35% chance of destroying my kidney that I have left. Then I won't have one. And it has a 50% chance of giving me significant and permanent hearing damage and a whole list of other stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to spin the wheel. Okay, so I did. And I just ended up with the radiation and doing some just like small other stuff, right? So the physical recovery from radiation to the head and neck is 18 months because that injury to you, it's at a cellular level and it's different than a laceration or contusion or a broken bone or whatever. It's just, it takes a long time to heal and it's resource intensive. So anyway, I was very resilient to the radiation, right? Like I drove myself to and from the Abbotsford Cancer Center in Abbotsford, British Columbia, who treated me really great. That was a good experience, thankfully, despite the rest of, healthcare right now. But I drove, it was 5 days a week and twice on Fridays, like literally, right? They gave me extra radiation because I didn't do chemo too. And I took most of it. I made my own decision on that too, for better or worse. So I was fairly resilient. It's painful, obviously. It's fatiguing. I ended up with this crazy, these sores in my mouth. It felt like, I had been drinking boiling water. That's what it feels like to get radiation to your face and neck. I had radiation burns, all that stuff, right? So, but I got through it and I just trucked along, kept my chin up. And the worst part depends on the person, but the worst part is probably the last 4 weeks of radiation and then the month after it stops because the damage continues for like another 2 weeks or something like that by itself. So anyway, yeah, that was painful and now that's in the rearview mirror. So that was September 26th of 2021 was my last treatment date. And so there was a problem. The problem is that all of my PET scans and whatever, nothing was ever conclusive. Nobody ever said, oh, you're cancer free. It looks like the treatment where it was just like, there's a little bit of metabolic activity in there. I don't think that it's recurrent cancer. I think it's probably inflammation. Like it was never like, looks good. You're clear for now. Never. So anyway, I had that. Plus I was really beat up from the treatment, right? Quite beat up. And I was still going. I mean, even throughout treatment and all the way out, like I never missed a podcast, never missed a TV show, still did my CCFR work, like just still plugged through no matter what, right? Because that's important too, by the way. So I think that was part of it. Just don't stop working. Just keep going. Keep your life as normal as possible. So anyway, I get through all this stuff, but I felt terrible. Okay. And, I really felt, to be honest with you, brutally honest, I was completely convinced that it was going to come back and that I was going to end up dying. Totally convinced. Like, I mean, I'm in my early 50s. I had cancer twice and I can't get a clear, report on tests, and I felt terrible and whatever, right? And fighting all my regular health problems that I had, because there's quite a few of them. So anyway, I remember a friend of mine coming to visit me, and that would have been, I don't know, about 2 years ago. So I was, I don't know, 7-8 months out of treatment. And he said, you know, you look great, whatever. I'm like, yeah, well, I don't feel great, right? And he's like, oh, when are you going to start up the Civil Advantage channel again? Oh, when are you going to do this? When are you going to start? You know, what's next for you? And I'm like, okay, listen, let me save you some time. There's nothing next for me. Where I am today, I'm in decline. Okay. I'm lucky to be alive right now, as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, like I'm still working, like everything's, you know, okay. But I'm in decline. I'm only going to do less in my life to the point where my life's over. And I don't know when that could be. Probably it could be 8 months from now. And he's like, well, I think you're wrong. I think you're just getting started. And this is a true story, man. And I'm like, yeah, well, I can't control what you think, right? I am just telling you what I'm telling you. I'm the one that's in this body. And I'm telling you this. And then now fast forward, I don't know, 6 months later, basically we're 18 months ago from right now. I had been struggling with all of these health problems that I had for years, right? 15 years of chronic acid reflux and been on prescription medicine and all the stuff for that. And muscle pain, I just thought it's like normal, right? Like you normally should be hurting all the time. And if any time I exercise too hard, tendonitis, right? I had tennis elbow in both arms for 3 years. Why? From trying to do push-ups. And like literally doing, I don't know, 10 or 15 of them, maybe 15 if I'm really pushing, right? And I just get injured. And anyway, a ton of different health problems I had. But I thought it is what it is, right? Well, I end up convincing myself to try the carnivore diet, right? I think you guys know that, right? And this was 18 months ago. And because it was Jordan Peterson and his daughter and all the rest of that stuff. And it was such an extreme diet, I was afraid of it, especially having cancer. I'm like, well, I thought, you know, red meat causes cancer, whatever, right? All this stuff that you're told, right? Oh, you need carbohydrates. And so I was like, I don't know. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try it and just monitor myself. I'm going to get blood work. I'm going to do all this stuff and I'll pay for it. So I did this diet. In 10 days, I lost 10 pounds in 9 days, or 10 days, 9 pounds in 10 days. Anyway, in 2 months, I lost 30 pounds. And by the time 3.5 months rolled around, it was 35 pounds because the weight came off really fast and then slowed down. I went from like 200, 205 to 170. I didn't weigh 170 when I was 17. Okay. When I was 20 years old, I was 185. So all of a sudden I lose all this weight. And on day two, my acid reflux went away and never came back 18 months later. My muscle pain's gone. My tendonitis is gone. Now I can do 70 push-ups. Oddly enough, couldn't do more than 15 my entire life. So anyway, all this stuff starts happening to me. I'm like, what the heck? But my brain lit up. I think it wasn't long. It was like 10 days or something. My brain just lit right up. And all of a sudden, I just had this surging positivity. And it's not like I had depression or anything before. I was always happy and optimistic. But just this surging and this ambition and this mental energy. Like physical energy was good and was better for sure being on the diet, but the mental energy was, I almost couldn't control it. I'm not saying that works for everybody. That's not what I'm saying. But I was strict. Every diet I ever tried, I was strict. Nothing ever made me feel like this. So anyway, my endurance is great. My body feels like it better than when I was 20, and my brain lights up. And then maybe it didn't take long. I started thinking, this is 18 months ago. I'm like, I need to do more than I'm doing right now. The CCFR, like 50 hours a week, every week for like 10, you know, whatever, 8 years at the time. Oh, I need to do more for some reason. And I couldn't shake that feeling. And I started looking around for things to do. And I'm like, I need to start another business and I need to do this and that. And I'm like, okay, calm down. And so I looked for a whole bunch of things, did due diligence on a whole bunch of things, tried to figure out how much time I could allocate this and that. While even my activity from when I was, my whole time at the CCFR, including when I was going through treatment and after and everything, I worked even harder than I had worked, no matter when I was like, it was, things were going through the roof, right? And so I came up with a few ideas. A bunch of them didn't work out. I couldn't make them work. So what I'm trying to get at is just to kind of figure out where we are right now. I changed my diet and it changed my life, turned my life into something it had never been my whole existence. And I think, in my opinion, it saved my life. And it certainly changed my mind, changed my brain, the way it works. Like, yeah, it's been a profound difference. And it got me through the things that are very difficult for people to get through, for sure. It just changed my life. And so after looking at all these things that I could do, in addition, I finally came up with one. And over the last, 5 months, I started something new that I want to share with you. So you may have noticed in the last, how long have I been talking? Oh, 15 minutes. Sorry, guys. If you notice in the last episode, I did an interview with the CCFR president, Scott Carpenter, right? In the new studio that I built. That studio I built out of my own pocket, right? I built that with my own money and I built that with my own hands, like knocked out walls in this, because this isn't a commercial building, knocked walls out. You know, I'm an electrician by trade way back in the day, right? So like just did everything myself. Now, I built that studio, not for this specific reason, but for other reasons. Plus, it's such a great thing to have for the CCFR, because what's mine is the CCFR's. It's always been that way. Like, this is actually my studio. And so what I'm doing with this studio is I have a new television show, and it's premiering on WOW TV in 2 months, in the first week of April, right? Q2. The name of the show is called My Best Hunt with Rod Giltaka, and it's a hunting show. And how it works is that hunters from across Canada, primarily hunters that are on television or hunters that are on YouTube that film their own hunts, hunters from across Canada come to Chilliwack, British Columbia, where the studio is, and they sit in the studio with me in the studio environment, and they tell me the story of their best hunt ever, or one of their best hunts. And while they're doing that, they bring their B-roll from the episode that they record, or if it's not an episode, it's whatever personal B-roll, like, video stuff, or even pictures if need be. And I'll slot in just little, once in a while, it's not the whole thing, just slot in some B-roll here and there so you can attach what they're saying, what part of the story they're saying, with actually what's happening. So it's this environment where it's not a hunting show where people are whispering and all the rest of that stuff and crashing around the bush. It's a man cave environment that you saw in the last episode, and telling, because what's the best part of hunting television? It's the story. That's the best part. And what better place to tell a story is in a nice, comfortable, easy chair with great lighting and beautiful sound. Sit back, and then you have the time to tell all the details that you might have missed. You know, the funny parts where you can laugh out loud, all the rest of that stuff. That's the show. So I'm in the process of actually filming, but it's going to be 13 episodes, as I said, premiering in the first week of April. It's going to go a new episode on WOW TV every week for 13 weeks. And then they take that entire 13 week season, which is one quarter, and they repeat it. So it's going to run for 6 months. I've committed to do 2 seasons of it. I have all the hunters already for season one. That went really well. I was a little, because there's a lot of barriers, and when you get over them, there's still more barriers, right? So I didn't know if anybody wanted to participate. The response to the show has been awesome. So I've got all the hunters I need for season one, and then part of season two, actually. And so we're filming that right now. That's what my weekends look like and my evenings. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you. My Best Hunt with Rod Giltaka. If you want to check out the little promo reel, you can on the website. The website is mybesthunt.ca. Mybesthunt.ca. So you can check that out and look forward to that. So I'll be talking about the TV show from time to time on here. So now you know that that's happening. And I went from didn't think I was going to live another 2 or 3 months to continuing to be where we are right now to having another coming out with a TV show. Like, it's not a CCFR thing. It's my TV show on top of what I'm doing. And I still got energy to spare. So it's, I guess at the end of the day, the the story is no matter what you're facing in life, if you just keep pushing forward and you make sure that you don't allow your own mind, which is the trick, to force you to give up, you know, you can come out the other side, you know, whatever, 9.8 times out of 10, right? It's possible. And it's always possible to kind of come out of something, out of a bad time in your life, and do something even more remarkable than you did before things turn bad, right? Facing adversity is a real life skill and it can be done. I'm happy to be where I am now, and the sky's the limit. So I just wanted to share that with you, and just to reiterate that the community really helped me when I had cancer in a couple of different ways. And if you're one of those people that helped me, you know what I'm talking about. And that I just, you know, such a blessing, and I'll be forever grateful for all of your help and all of your support of the CCFR and everything. So I wanted to share that with you. All right. I know that took a while, like 20 minutes. All right. That's going to do it for this episode. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening. Take care, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.